Thank you, Emily. Appreciate that. I was just thinking about, as we were singing that song, that new song, "He's So Much Better Than the Rest." It's such a simple lyric to sing, but man, how powerful and how meaningful is that? I was really kind of going over this core value series. So we teach line upon line through God's Word. If you guys have been here for a little while, you know that that's how we teach. We're actually going to be going into James next, and we're going to be going into Genesis, doing the long marathon through Genesis. It's going to be awesome. But some of you are like, "Hey, exciting." No, it's going to be awesome. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. There's so many stories and so much great stuff in there that we need to know as Christians. But as we're going through core values, I'm asking myself, like, why do we value these things? Why is it important? Why do we need to be going through these things? And as Emily was singing, "You're So Much Better Than the Rest," I think about how God's way is just so good, and it's so right, and it's so pure, and it's so true, and it's what we need to be reliant upon. I have a good buddy of mine that I grew up with that I was on the phone with this week who's just tormented right now. He's just going through a really, really tough time, and I mean, he after high school kind of got into some bad lifestyle stuff and ended up going to Hollywood and trying to do some art and film stuff and just got caught up in a really bad crowd, and I think just welcomed in a lot of really dark stuff into his life. And he's dealing with it still to this day and just kind of drudging through it. And he called me. He's like, "Mike, I just need help. What do I do?" And I realized that after talking to him, he's relying upon all these worldly things to try to bring him peace and to try to bring him healing. And he like even called one of those phone numbers of like those ads on TV to like get help and self-help and you know, whether it's, what do you call it? Almost like horoscope stuff, all that stuff. He's like into all that. Where am I going to find healing? He's looking everywhere. And I told him, I'm like, "Man, God is true. There is something called truth. There's not a bunch of truths out there. There's truth. And you're dealing with darkness. And you need to just embrace God in fullness. He's going to give you healing. He's going to give you peace." But it reminded me, this is why we're doing what we're doing. This is why we're talking about humility. Why live a humble life? I could probably make more money if I didn't. You know what I mean? I could probably make more friends or have whatever it is that you want to fill the void with. You could probably do more worldly things. I mean, look at professional sports, professional athletes. Most of them aren't the most humble guys in the world. They didn't get there by being meek and gentle. They got there by being competitive and prideful and feeling like they were the best. And they've been rewarded. So why do this? It's because we believe in God. We believe in truth. We believe that His way is the right way. So as we jump into this, I just want us to really remember this. Everything that we do, biblical worldview, the reason we teach, the reason we try to understand better is because we believe it's the right way of living and that we'll receive God's blessing and protection and provision if we live our lives this way. So today we're going to be in Luke 14. And before we go there, Elijah, don't flip there yet. I want to tell a story. I there's a lot of times in our life where we get humbled. Okay, I mean, some of you are laughing. You have like flashes right now of things that pop into your mind. Now, they tell pastors never to preach on patience, never to preach on humility, because you get tested in the areas that you preach on. And it's funny because my wife, some of you know, she's in San Diego right now, and I'm useless. Like, I am the worst. I'm so useless. Like, Elijah and I are on our own, and I don't think we've eaten one vegetable since she's been gone. Like, it's been so bad. And I'm like, "Dude, every time I have a dirty dish, I put it in the sink, and it just keeps growing." And I'm like, "Why are they not disappearing? They just keep, the pile keeps growing." And I'm like, "Dude, this is going to be so much work by the time I'm done." And I like, my wife's going to listen to this sermon probably online at some point. "Baby, I love you. I appreciate you." Man, but talk about humility. I just realized I would probably be the bachelor that would have like a big screen TV that'd be like 100 inches and like a couch that I got off Craigslist and like an empty Dorito bag on the floor. And that's it, you know, without my wife. So I appreciate you. God's been humbling me in that way, realizing how dependent I am on my wife. I can't even fall asleep in my bed without my wife. I've just like lay there just like, what do I do, you know? So God's been testing me on that. But I know when Brianna and I were first married, maybe we'd been married for a few years. We went to a friend of ours' wedding. And it was a beautiful wedding on the beach, and they had all these round tables kind of in an L shape. And you could see the water. It was just this absolutely beautiful venue. And we had a couple mutual friends there. So Brianna and I went and we sat at this table and we're hanging out. And, you know, they're wearing the same stuff they're in the wedding party. So they're wearing like, you know, the white suits with the lavender shirts and all that stuff. And we're just hanging with them, having a good time talking to them. And after about like 45 minutes of hanging out, talking with them, someone came up to us and usher was like, "Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. You're not seated at this table. I'm going to have to ask you to move." And we're like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know." We were sitting at like the head table. You know what I mean? With like the groomsmen and the bridesmaids. And we were just mortified and embarrassed. And we realized there was like a giant scroll that was on the way in that said where everybody was seating. And then we walked like the furthest distance away from the bridal party and sat in like this dark corner with a bunch of randoms. And we're like, every wedding has what's called a who dat table. Because it's like, who dat? I don't know. Put them at that table. Maybe they'll all get along with each other, you know? But you can't put them with, like, you know, your uncles and your aunts and stuff. So we were at the who dat table, but we were sitting at the head table not knowing, because those were the people that we knew. And so it's funny because the Lord speaks a parable that is almost word for word exactly what happened to us. And I'm like, I don't know if the Lord in his infinite knowledge spoke this parable, if Jesus spoke this parable knowing that it was going to happen to me, maybe. But let's read it. It's in Luke chapter 14, verse 7. And you tell me if this isn't exactly what just happened to me. I'll give you a second to flip there. Luke 14, 7 says this. "So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, 'When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place.'" You see where I'm going with this? "Lest one or more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and come to say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Okay, so this was not intentional. I didn't go like, "Oh, look it, I deserve to be here." You know, I think that's what he's talking about. But man, it was exactly word for word what happened. I went and sat at the highest place, the greatest seat at the table. And then the usher had to come up to me and tell me, "No, you actually are sitting over at the who dat table." And, you know, and we had to go move over there. It was really humbling and really embarrassing. And the Lord is telling us, humble yourself and then he will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, he's going to bring you down, which is exactly what happened to me. So I was looking up kind of like the definition of humility, and it's associated with lowliness. So it's associated with lowliness. Now, it's interesting because some people are like, "Man, I don't know if we're supposed to be a doormat." Okay, we're not supposed to be a doormat. Humility doesn't mean letting somebody walk all over you. That's not the definition of humility. I think a good definition of this, when we talk about like meekness and humility, is a guy named Jocko. You know Jocko Willink? Some of you guys know. He's like a motivational speaker. The guy, his head is like so scary looking, his face. And he used to be a Navy SEAL commander, if that's even the right terminology. He led a team of Navy SEALs. And he also does jiu-jitsu like nonstop. And he's probably, I'm assuming he's a black belt, but he's just constantly fighting all these guys in jiu-jitsu. He posts on Instagram every morning at like 4 a.m. his watch, just a picture of his watch to show what time it is. He's like, "Time to grind, time to work out," you know? Guy's a beast. It looks like his head would beat me in a fight. Like, he's so scary looking. But I remember him in an interview, he was talking about, he's like, "You know what? If anyone ever approached me to fight me," he's like, "I would try to talk him out of it first. Second of all, I would probably just run and get out of there." And he's like, "But if somebody grabbed me and put his hands on me, I'd have to do something about it." You know what I mean? Because then I'm in danger at that point. But think about this gigantic man who knows how to just dismember you if he wanted to. He said he would run. You know what I mean? I'm picturing like some little emo kid with his hair like in his face, like, "Let's go, let's throw down," and him just like running away, Jocko, you know? That's what humility means, though. He's saying, "You know, I'm not going to approach this guy and fight him. I can destroy this person, but he might have a gun. He might know something I don't know. I want to respect each person. I don't want to get myself in trouble. I don't want to end up in prison. I'm just going to walk away, and I'm going to think lower of myself. I don't care what people think about me. I'm not going to respond in pride. I'm going to respond in humility." Now, what does this look like practically? We have some kids in the room, right? We can practice being humble by respecting our parents. Okay, some of you kids are listening right now, right? You're drawing, you're coloring. Respecting your parents. Okay, that's how we respond in humility. You guys nodding your head, you're like, I know, right? When they say clean your room, it means now. It doesn't mean later, okay? When they say eat your vegetables, it's because it's good for you, okay? I see all the Saavedra boys looking down. Look me in the eyes. I see you. Yeah, this is how we show humility. You actually show humility to the Lord by honoring your parents. That's kind of cool, right? God will be honored by your humility towards your parents, okay? That's one way you can do it. Married and dating couples, showing humility towards one another, okay? Humble, loving each other, respecting each other. When I tell this story often, but it was like my wife used to go pick up cheese pizzas, and I'm like, baby, they sell pepperoni pizzas. I want pepperoni. She's like, no, but I want cheese pizzas. And she would bring them home, and I'd be like, how come she doesn't respect me? You know, I want my pepperonis, and she won't give me my pepperonis. She can just take the pepperonis off. But I can't put pepperonis on a cheese pizza, you know, and I got frustrated because I had a prideful view of myself. I thought that I deserved better. And then I got to a place where I'm like, you know what, baby, I'll eat cheese pizza for the rest of my life for you. You know what I mean? Aw, isn't that sweet? Because I was scared of her. No, I'm just joking. Or what about in the workplace? In the workplace, we could be humble in the workplace as well. We could submit unto people. Sometimes in the workplace, you have to submit to your boss when you don't feel like they're right. Take that one step further. When you know they're wrong, okay? And the Lord's saying, humble yourself. Work as unto the Lord. Humble yourself before these people. I know when I was working in ministry for a long time, I had to humble myself and say, I don't agree with you. And then they would say, I know you don't agree with me, but you're not in a position of authority to disagree with me, so do it. And I'd say, okay. And I would do it. You know what I mean? And sometimes I was wrong, and sometimes they were wrong. Regardless, the Lord's not asking me to assert power. He's asking me to submit in humility under those who were in authority. So the Lord's asking us to do that sometimes in the workplace, right? We can do that. So the first point is that I was just talking about that I wanted to kind of go over was just what is humility and kind of what's the purpose. But we're going to be talking about two other points that I really want to hone in on. One is humility towards God. And one is humility towards others. Okay, so we're going to be talking first about how we can be humble before the Lord. Okay, this is really important. So I'm going to read this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I don't think I have it on the screen. On a side note, bring your Bibles, okay? Just bring it. We're at church, bring your Bibles, okay? It's an important thing to have. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. This is pretty cool. So Solomon was dedicating the temple, and the Lord speaks this to him in a vision. And he's like, I mean, because if you ever just read Chronicles, Kings, it's like you'd have a king that would rule for a while, and he would be like, let's honor the Lord. Let's submit to him. And the Lord would be like, that's right. Let's do this. I'm going to bless this nation. He'll bless the nation. And then they'd have a wicked son who would become king next and then would say, forget the Lord. You know what? You know who's awesome? Baal. Let's build altars to Baal and Asherah and all these false gods. And then the Lord would be like, all right, I'm removing my provision and my support from them. And then they would get attacked and they would lose these battles and wars. Then the next son would come and be like, my dad was a knucklehead. Let's honor the Lord again. They'd tear down the altars of Baal. I mean, they had to do so much construction, you know, building and tearing down altars. Like the demo crew was never out of work, you know, or the construction crew. They were just constantly building. And the Lord is saying, humble yourselves, pray and seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways and I'll heal your land. That's what he's asking us to do. And that's interesting that humility is tied in with this. Now, disobedience to the Lord is a form of pride. Because what we're doing when we disobey the Lord is we're saying, okay, here, so picture a physical throne. Picture a physical throne, and the Lord's on it, and he's like, here's how I want you to approach your relationship with your wife, okay, for example. And you go, nah, and you push him off, and you sit down and go, I'll do it my way. That's what it means to disobey the Lord. You're saying, I can do it better than you. Now fill that in with any instance. We're taking the Lord off the seat and we're sitting in that space. Now I know just like many areas of our life, I was telling Elijah this a while back. I think we were talking about it last night. there's not a whole lot of areas in our life as, you know, 21st century Americans that we need to rely on the Lord for dependence for like food, okay? Or rely on him for dependence for protection from our enemies, okay? Like there may be a current real threat in America, but at the same time, it feels like for the longest time, we've just been at peace living here, at least as citizens. I don't want to dishonor our veterans, especially after Veterans Day and all that they've done, that they fight to protect our nation. But the reality is, we live in this world where we're just sitting here in God's protection. And we're sitting here in the nation's protection because of all the people who fought in battles and all the people who've protected us, all the things that we have in our Constitution that protect us. We're just sitting in God's protection. It used to be that if it didn't rain, then the crops wouldn't grow. And if the crops wouldn't grow, they wouldn't have vegetables, and then they wouldn't be able to feed the animals, and then they wouldn't have meat, and then everything would fall apart if they didn't have water. Nowadays, it's like, I'll just eat granola bars, you know what I mean? Or I'll just eat like whatever, and it just seems like we have this system set in place to where we could kind of live our lives without God. But that's what God is calling us back. But there's one thing, no matter how developed we get as a nation, no matter how developed we get as a people, you know what's one thing we can't control? What happens after we die. Nothing we can do. In life, we can control a lot of things. We can fool ourselves and say, oh, I can get a job and I can get money and I can provide for myself without God. We can fool ourselves. We can fool ourselves that we can provide food for ourselves without God. We can fool ourselves for a while. But then everybody stands before God one day after death. And we're not fooling anybody at that point. It's us and him. It's us and him. And really, when Jesus says, come to me as little children, that's how you enter into the kingdom of heaven. You come to him like a little child. Now, what does a little child do? They just come and they go, okay. And they jump in the pool, right? You're sitting there and you're in the pool and you're like, jump to me. And they're like, okay. And they just jump right in. They don't care if you're in the deep end. They don't care what's going on. They know that you're there. You're going to catch them. You're going to protect them. The Lord is saying, come to him humbly like little children. That's how we show humility towards God. Is by submitting unto him and recognizing his holiness, his righteousness, and that he sustains us in every single aspect. Like I said, we fool ourselves thinking that we provide. If you have a job right now and you're making a killing, God's given you that brain. He's given you the relationships and the connections. He's done incredible things to mesh this entire web together of relationships to put you in a place to where the business is running that you're working for or that you're running. That, I mean, everything's set in place perfectly. He's playing 4D chess constantly for your life. And we're sitting here and we're saying, I got this job because I went to college and I got my grades and I have my resume and look what I've done. The Lord's like, no. I did all that. Right? The Lord is wanting us to submit unto him. There's this cool brand that's like a SoCal brand. It's not even a SoCal brand. I think it's like a Hawaii brand, but it's like popular in SoCal because it's like that coastal vibe. But it's the he is greater than I. I think I even have an image of that. Like, put it up. Have you guys seen this before? Yeah, on like people's hats and stuff like that. It's really cool because it's a humility, like it's an imagery that shows humility. He is God, all caps, and that's the greater than logo. If any of you are math people, the crocodile eats the bigger side, right? And then you have the lowercase I. And I mean, I's always capitalized in the English language, right? But not here. Because we're saying we're not greater than. God is greater than. And it aligns with this verse. John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Look at that. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's Christian living. God, how do I become less of me and then replace that piece that I just lost with you? Now I'm more of you than I was before, and I'm less of me than I was before, and now I could do your work more. How do I prune that piece off that is dependent on myself, that's prideful, that's arrogant, that's greedy for money, that's lustful? How do I cut that part off and say, all right, Lord, what are you going to replace that with? A little bit more of you. A little bit more of you. That's what humility towards God looks like. That's how we live our lives this way. I want to ask you, how can you, like, just think about this personally. How can you respond in humility towards God today in your personal life? What can you do? How can you change your schedule a little bit to spend a few minutes with God just in reverence for him. Right? How often do we pray? Let's be honest. How often do we pray and say, Father God, thank you so much for this day. Pray for my family. Pray for protection. Pray for this meal. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay? That's a prayer. It by definition, it's a prayer. But man, is that a prayer? Is that really a prayer? Or should we be humble before the Lord and say, God, we just lift you up. We exalt you. I recognize that I'm in need of you. I desire you. God, I'm nothing without you. And then spend time in silence and just say, God, speak to me. I need you. I'm walking in my own wisdom and I need you more than ever. Spend 20 minutes doing that. Spend an hour doing that. Spend all day doing that. Just in reverence to God. So I want you to ask yourself, what can you do? Maybe it's on the drive to and from work. Some of you are like, I work from home. That's fine. But on the drive to and from work, putting on some worship music and just worshiping him. There's nothing like singing at the top of your lungs when you're alone in your car worshiping the Lord. Because it's a joyful noise to him, but not to anybody else. So you do it alone, do it in your car, right? But that's how you can a couple of the ways that you guys can just respond in humility towards him. And then here's one of the more practical things that we can do is have humility towards each other. And we're going to kind of land the plane here. I'm going to read this verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says this. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed in humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, so he's saying, younger people, submit yourselves to your elders, and then all of you be submissive to one another. Wow, what does that look like? What does that mean? You know, it's like, that's a difficult task to uphold. How do we submit to one another? God is asking us to see somebody else and value their opinion over ours. Honor them, lift them up, say, I respect you, I honor you, I value you. Like, it's funny because Jesse, who's serving in kids ministry, I'm going to make fun of her for a second, but she's from Jersey, you know? And when you're from Jersey, you kind of just like, it seems like a New York, East Coast, there's a vibe of like, what's this dude doing in the middle of the street? Get out of here. You know what I mean? There's like this attitude of like, everybody's a mess. You know what I mean? Except for you. And you're kind of driving around in your own little world and everybody's in the way. Like my dad used to, he would drive into his business and there was like a little driveway that he could pull into his parking lot. And we were on El Cajon Boulevard in San Diego, this long street. And it'd be like 7 a.m, he's heading to work. And there'd be one guy walking and my dad would have to wait for him with his left blinker on because he's walking across the driveway. He's like, I just drove 5 miles. There's not a whole person on El Cajon Boulevard and God put this person here. It's like he spring-loaded him. He twisted the little thing on his back and set him right there just to get me angry today. And I'm like, Dad, relax, buddy. It's just 5 seconds, you know? It's okay. Wait and then turn left, you know? And it's because we come from this mindset, this attitude that the world sometimes revolves around us, but God is saying, be submissive to one another, honor each other, lift each other up. There's a story of this old lady who would make sandwiches for her husband. Okay, I mean, they'd been married for, I don't know, 50 years. She's making sandwiches for her husband for lunchtime. Every single day, you know, at 12 o'clock, she grabs 2 slices of bread, mayonnaise, you know, bologna. Jeez, anyone eat bologna? Throws a sandwich together and gives it to him, but she always gives him the heel of the bread. You guys know what that is, the heel? The back end, you know, the crusty part? Your sandwich has got that weird rounded side on it nobody likes. How many, like, just by a show of hands, just for fun, how many of you eat that piece? Raise your hand if you eat that piece. Okay, hands down. How many of you, raise your hand if you throw that piece out? Okay, yeah, okay. We have more thrower outers. How dare you? How dare you waste God's provision right here? No. We've known to throw some out. I'll tell you on a separate note, little life hack, if you're a mayonnaise person or even peanut butter jelly, mayo the crusty side, flip it upside down, tricks you. You don't even know it's there, right? Just if you're pinching pennies, there's a little trip, you know, a little tip right there. That's Dave Ramsey right there for you. So she's making her husband these sandwiches using the heel of the bread every time. And finally, like, the husband, he's kind of getting frustrated because he doesn't like it, you know. And he's like, after decades of this, he finally just loses it. And he's like, honey, what's the deal with the heel of the bread? Every single day, you make me the sandwich, you give me the heel of the bread, I end up having to eat it. You have two white fluffy slices of bread on your sandwich, and I'm stuck eating the heel of the bread. And she looks at him, and she has tears in her eyes, and she's like, I did that because that's my favorite slice, right? She loved it. That was her piece. You know, you can imagine how crushed he must have felt. She gave him her favorite slice for decades, sacrificing it from herself, and then he responds in pride in an outburst of anger. You know, that's just such a picture of pride versus humility right there. To sacrifice your favorite piece over and over and over and over again unto others and say, you can have it, you can have it, you can have it. You know, when I was growing up, it was me and my brothers would split something, and they would always say, you cut, I pick. And I was a little kid. So you cut, I pick meant I had to try to perfectly 50-50 this chocolate chip cookie. And if I did it wrong, then I know he's getting 56% of it, and I'm stuck with 44. You know, and it was always frustrated me because it got me real good at finding 50%. But I would cut it, and you know what? How much easier it is to just say, you know what? You can have it. Man, I know it sounds so simple, but how often in our lives do we fight for that last piece? We fight for that little bit. And God is just saying, submit unto one another. In the church, that's so, so important because we're supposed to model it here. We're supposed to model it here. When there's one last donut hole, okay? All right? When kids ministry needs someone to step in, you know, it's like, I'll do it. I'll jump in. You know? Like, whatever you guys need. Well, I mean, this is where we can all support one another here. And we can help each other out. You know, and when you see one of the kids making noise, go sit with them and say, hey, what's going on? You know, and sit with them and be there with them. When someone's burdened and they're heavy laden, but you got somewhere to be, put your thing aside, be with them. Hey, God's asking us to submit to one another, be there for one another, bear each other's burdens, honor each other. That's how we can reflect Jesus. He was humbled, it says, even to the point of death. He was so humble that he allowed himself to be mocked. He allowed himself, he said, I could bring down a legion of angels to just wipe out every single Roman and every single Jew that's opposing me right now. I could wipe out nations in an instant. But no, I'm going to humble myself even to the point of death for my people. And that's what he's calling us to. It's not easy. That's what he's calling us to. Believe the best in each other, right? Believe the best in each other. Someone, you text someone and they don't text you back. You know what, that, like, it's easy to start letting your mind go somewhere, right? What's going on? Are they mad at me? Do they not want to talk to me anymore? Did I say something wrong? What did I say? Chill. Take a deep breath. Maybe they're in the woods and there's no service. I don't know. Maybe they got caught up with something at work. Maybe they're not attached to their phone like a robot person. And they just set it down and they're enjoying their life and they didn't see your text. Lot of reasons that could happen. Believe the best in each other. We have to believe the best in each other. Lift each other up. I'm going to close with this verse. This kind of puts a bow on it. Philippians 2. What a beautiful book, Philippians. Philippians 2:1 says this. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. In lowliness of mind, esteem others better than yourself. You meet someone new, it's like, man, that person, they have a whole life of knowledge, things that they've read, things that they've done, experience that they've had. I'm going to honor that. They could teach me something. That's the mindset we approach. Not, oh, who does this guy think he is? I've told you before about the pastor that met me and was like, and kind of treated me poorly. And after like 3 months, was like, I don't know why, but when I first met you and I just saw you, there was something about you I just didn't like. And I have to apologize for that. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what I can do about that. Change my face. You know what I mean? Like change my look, dress differently. You know, like there's nothing I could have done about that. But instead of that person approaching me with saying, I'm going to give this person a shot, they're just like, I just don't like them. They're a threat, whatever that may be. Approach people with humility. Approach people with love. Honor your friends. Honor your coworkers. Honor each other. Okay, lift each other up. Respect each other. That's what God is calling us to do. Be humble. So the reason we covered all this is because this is a core value at Revive Church. And as we go through core values, I want you to think of this. The way that I look at it is if somebody attends our church and really is bought in and they want to go deep and they want to attend on Sunday and they want to be part of a community group and they want to serve and they want to be discipled, what kind of disciple are we making? What are we going to look like? What are we going to grow into? Humility is a core value. And if somebody's prideful, then we're gonna be lacking in that alignment, in that unity. So that's something that's gotta be broken. And so it's gonna be something that we're gonna work through here as a church. We wanna create disciples that are humble, that are about the word of God, that are about God's truth, that love each other well, that pray, that are dependent upon him. We're gonna be going through all these core values over the next few weeks. But hey, next week, I wanna mention this before I close in prayer. I'm going to be here. My wife's going to be here. We're all going to be here. But Patrick's actually going to be bringing the word. It's going to be his first sermon. So I want you guys to be here. Support him. It's going to be an awesome one. So, let's be there. Let's pray. Let's close. And let's be humble. Amen? Let's be humble towards each other. Ask the Lord what it is that he wants you to work in humility into your regular life this week, okay? Father God, thank you so much for your word and your truth. God, I pray that as we just went through this message, Lord, that each person in here would have somebody highlighted in their mind that maybe they just need to esteem a little bit higher than they have been, that they need to honor a little bit better. Sometimes it's the people in our own home. God, I pray that the kids in this room would recognize that they have parents who love them and care for them, that want what's best for them, and they would respond in humility, in obedience to their parents. God, I pray for all the couples here that they would respect and honor their significant other. They would submit that last scoop of ice cream. They would submit where they're going for dinner. They would submit whatever those things are unto one another. That they would fight over who's being more humble and not who's trying to get their way. And Lord, for each person in here, that we would look at our relationship with you individually and say, Lord, where am I taking the place of God? Where am I saying that I know better and that I can do it better instead of submitting to you? God, I pray that we would lay our wants down, lay our desires down. We would be humble before you. And Lord, we would choose your way, that we would humble ourselves and allow you to lift us up in your timing. So God, we just honor you. We're grateful for you. We pray for each person here for peace, for prosperity, that we would have an incredible week living lives honoring you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.